The official podcast of the Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John and Sue.
And back.
Okay.
Yay!
Huzzah! It is Pottercast 204. Once again, I'm Melissa. I'm here with John Frankenstein. We've got another week of Potter Fantastic Fabulosity stuff. Woo, coming.
What is in the week of show? Well, after our delicious Sue's news, we're going to take you to a little bit of... Oh, half-blood bits?
No!
I mean, princely pieces.
Yes.
We're going to have a segment you haven't heard in a long time. One of your favorite segments. Bit by mailbag.
Oh.
Just kidding. It's the mailbag.
Mailbag!
So we'll take
Yay!
Some of your emails.
So princely pieces and a mailbag and the news, correct?
And the news, yep.
Let's do it. Welcome to Pottercast number 204. We have different drums and we have different music and we have different everything.
Yes. Tell us how you like it. Give us feedback, guys. What the hell?
Did you say during the show last week who did our music?
Oh, Jason, Monday, Ministry of Magic, gave us some new intro music. Thanks, buddy.
And now we turn to regular contributor for an update on how the new Wizarding Order is affecting the Muggle world.
This first piece of news makes me really happy because it involves someone we really, really love, and her name is Yvonne Lynch, and she has been nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Yes, for Half-Blood Prince.
Yay, and what?
Yes.
And how did she do that?
It is the Half-Blood Prince where they have the Scream nominations, like Spike TV has the online screen, Scream Awards, and Half-Blood Prince got nominated for so many awards, including Ivana. It's just, it's thrilling, you know, to see her get nominated.
Is she the only actress from the movie that was nominated for an award?
Well, no, because Emma got nominated for Best Actress in a fantasy or you know, fantasy movie or TV show, but Ivana got it for Best Supporting, and then...
I love it. It's like, yeah, there's lots of nominations, and Ivana got nominated. Oh, and by the way, Emma Watson got nominated.
Yeah, also that, you know, lead actress.
Oh, you know, but she gets it all the time, you know? It's just nice when somebody like Ivana, you know, gets a little sunlight, and I love that, because all the trio actually got nominated. Dan and Rupert, yay for Rupert, because he was just brilliant, and Helena Bonham Carter got nominated for Best Villain.
So, when does this close? When does this voting close?
It runs through October 17th.
I want to make a graphic to put on Leaky with all their little heads on it that says, vote for these guys for an award.
Cool.
I'll make Ivana's head huge, and everybody else could just be behind it.
That would be awesome. Do it. Here's good news. We have other good news today. The extended version of Chamber of Secrets has now been officially confirmed, and awesome. I think the first two are going to come out probably, because we already have them for pre-order in our Cauldron shop, around the same time that Half-Blood Prince is coming out on DVD this winter, Christmas time, so should be good. Fingers crossed. Yay.
What else happening?
Frank, you'll appreciate this. Jo is not only a great author, but she's also a pretty fabulous artist, and she and Robbie Coltrane have contributed specially done handprints for a wonderful charity auction to help a young little girl who lost her hands and toes to meningitis. And Jo did this just magnificent sketch. Did you see it, Frankie?
Yeah, I looked at it. It's so cool. She does like snakes. It's cute. The thumb's a snake. Yeah. And then it's a snake and then Harry Potter and then Hedwig and then a dragon. And then what was the last one?
It's a snitch. It looks like the
golden snitch.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Wait. She painted all those things with her fingers?
No, she painted them on top
like
of her
paint?
Fingers. Like, she drew them on fingernails and stuff.
Yeah, she, like, drew,
I thought
like
it was finger painting.
Like a hand turkey, and then drew the details on.
It's much better than your hand turkeys that you make every Thanksgiving, you know?
Hey, you've never seen my hand turkeys, too. That's pretty presumptuous of you.
Oh, dude, I don't know, but you're already a turkey enough as it is.
Snap.
Oh, like, I smelled that coming around the corner a mile away.
You walked right into it, John, like you said that to me.
All right, Sue.
Half-Blood Prince continues its very impressive box office run. It is now globally done very, very well. It's made $904 million.
That's a billion dollars.
That's a very fast race to a billion. Like,
how much did it make? I mean, how much did it cost to make?
Oh, $250 million, I think.
Yeah.
That's after actors and everything.
That's everything. Yeah.
That's everything.
Wow.
Probably a fifth of that is actor payments.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes you do the budget before.
Cost now. $25 for a movie ticket these days. Yeah. The hell.
Yeah.
But it's doing really, really well overseas, which is it's doing pretty good here in the United States. But it was not like Transformer good, but it's done really well. But just globally, it's just pounding. It's amazing, and yeah. It said right now it's the third biggest film in the series, which is fairly impressive.
What's the first two biggest films?
First is Sorcerers. Second is Sorcerers, wait, and I guess
Phoenix.
I think it's Phoenix, isn't it?
Yeah,
it overtook Goblet, so to become number three. So I think it is.
Yeah, because yeah. Must have been Goblet. Three then. Is last. Karns is last.
Yeah, I think it was a shrunken head.
I couldn't stand those heads.
They scared away at repeat viewings.
Yeah.
Frightening. Take it away, and it'll be a bumpy ride.
All right, know,
something like that.
And the final thing just involves the Deathly Hallows, which continues in production in England. Minor casting. We already knew this, though, but Harry Melling is going to be back as Dudley, and which is good. And
he's lost some weight. He looks good.
He does. He looks well. He has to wear a suit.
Now, he doesn't look good for the part
like
of Dudley, but
well, Dudley could have grown up just like Harry. Come on.
Yeah. Wait, yeah, we don't know. Does Dudley lose weight by seven?
By seven. He's built. He's a fighter.
Yeah, he's a wrestler.
Right.
No, he's a puncher. He's a. Is it a wrestler or is
yeah,
it fighting?
He's a boxer.
Probably boxing, yeah.
Puncher.
He's a puncher. Okay, that's number
well,
one.
I'm, well, and the most. It, we've heard from Jason Isaacs again, who continues to be a marvelous. Just a marvelous spokesman for the series. Not just a funny guy, but he just. And it was a really reflective interview with him. Usually he's very funny, and that's why his interview is always great. But this interview that he did on the BBC Radio was much more. Reflective and a lot more thoughtful, and he spoke a great deal about Lucius Malfoy and, you know, his fall from grace that he's taken in Deathly Hallows, and, you know, he speaks about Lucius losing his wand, and, you know, the way he spoke so reverently about the books and the series, like, he even went back and addressed, you know, changes that fans might feel between the books and the films, like, namely the scene, like, in Half-Blood Prince, but with Harry being frozen on the Astronomy Tower and stuff, and so it was really just... You know, I'm not going to bash Gambon, but it was so refreshing to hear an adult actor in a series speak with such, you know, obvious passion and respect of the series. And it was just really a good interview. And I really, we still have the links up. And if you get a chance, I hope you can download the interview. It's really good.
So I'm going to go back and count how many times the number one news article has something to do with Jason Isaacs and then compare it to how many news articles mention Jason Isaacs. And I bet we're going to come up with the same number.
Do you think? I'm not even going to bet on that.
So it's like, Jason Isaacs is number one. Goes right to number one. Most exciting
number
one,
baby.
That's fine.
I would agree with her fangirling there on that. I appreciate that.
Pretty much equal
acting caliber to Gambon actually, you know, shows an interest in learning more about his character and the canon. Rock on, Jason. And your hair is gorgeous.
Your hair is gorgeous.
His wig is gorgeous?
Yes. His wig is gorgeous.
All right. What's coming up next, John?
Oh, I could tell you all the things coming up next. One of them, of course, is Half-Blood Pit.
It's Princely Pieces.
No, it's Princely Pieces.
Nobody will ever know the real name of this segment.
Princely Pieces coming up. We picked up from where Dumbledore picks up Harry at his little train hopping station. All the way through Slughorn's house and that whole bit. So, enjoy that. And we also have a little mailbag for you. Some of you, lots of you email us questions, and we've picked about 10 of them. So, fun stuff.
Great.
Let's do it.
The Prince. Who? That's what it says right here. This book is property of the Half-Blood Prince.
The pieces. Who is
that? Oh, pieces of Prince. I don't know.
Drop by drop.
Time for Princely Pieces. Drop by drop, bit by bit. Half-Blood Prince.
Frame.
Bits at a time. Frame
we should
by frame.
We should do, for April Fool's Day, go frame by frame on one of these.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Frame 16,
mass rebellion
20,
for 3 hours, and we get through 4 minutes of video.
Hey Sue, if the movie is 2 hours and 10 minutes long, how many frames are there?
Oh, you know, I can't do this without a calculator. My maths are not much fragments.
What would the equation be?
I don't even know.
Oh,
or
I bet that knows, but I bet that's boring. I bet we have Half-Blood Prince to talk about.
I bet we do.
Where are we starting from, Frankie?
We are starting from when Harry picks him up at the train station. I mean, when Dumbledore picks Harry up at the train station.
That was a good moment. You've been reckless this summer, Harry. Why aren't you at the Dursleys? I was supposed to pick you up there. Didn't you read the book? Sorry, Dumbledore. I'm at the train station this time.
It's really Harry. Hey, you're supposed to get me the Dursleys. Didn't you read the book? And Gammon's like, don't you know?
Yeah, actually, wait a second. So says my secretary. Anyway, so he grabs him in the tubes, the subway, whatever. And they take off for a little field trip, a little errand. Where are they going? I don't remember.
The charming village of Bubbly Bapperton. Charming.
What do you guys think of the apparition there?
Apparition.
Apparition.
Wait, what?
That's what it's called.
When they apparate, and Harry's like, I just apparated, didn't I?
Yeah, I remember that. I really liked it. It's much more in with the whole, like, book description. I like how he swirls around into his arm.
There's like a moment when it looks almost like the freeze frame at the end of 3.
Oh, but they didn't freeze.
No.
That's the thing.
No, he's moving around. I like how Dumbledore is like, most people vomit. I always thought apparating was like instantly, like you blink and you're there. And like it seems to be like there's a good few second moment of like you're being squished into non-being or something.
Well, that's how it was written in the book. I mean, Joe describes it, you know, that way.
Yeah, being squished and then being like shoved through a tube. And right when it gets to be unbearable, you're there.
I guess if it was in the book, then I probably should have known that.
Well, I thought the village that they chose, I remember when that was one, some of the earliest photos we got from location filming, and I thought that the village just looked wonderful. I thought it just matched kind of what I had in my mind, you know, and so I gave him a lot of credit for that. That was really cool, and then he lands there, and we did even see, like, little things, like the little war memorial thing, and I know that's just, like, kind of a who cares thing they could have done without it, but I thought it was kind of a cool touch, and then you show him walking up to this cool house, and that, so... It's pretty cool. I thought I really liked that apparition.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no thoughts really, one way or the other, about the village. Apparition.
It was a fine little village.
What?
It was a cute little village. I think.
Yeah, it's a village. I don't know that it merits much, you know.
Well, it's cute.
That's a little village.
Well, I'm curious. This is kind of off some image, but you know, in like the 5th book and movie, when Fred and George apparate just like down the steps. Does it take as long, or does it feel as bad, or is it just more like, pop, pop, because they're so close?
Yeah, there's so many different kinds of apparition in these movies.
I know, like the kind where you turn into black smoke and you flutter around. Like,
I want to turn into white smoke and have, like, fog billow off me when I apparate.
Do you think it's choice? Do you think you can control it? Like, obviously, Fred and George do it the way we thought it would be from the books. It's a pop.
I'm assuming that whatever it is that we're seeing these Death Eaters and Aura members do when they float around like clouds or whatever, like angry little clouds, that's not apparating. It's like the angry cloud spell, and so it has its own set of rules.
I would argue that when the Death Eaters and the Order members do the whole cloud stuff, it's kind of like they're halfway apparating. It's kind of like they're kind of putting their foot in and outside the door, and they manage to achieve some sort of like halfway state.
Well, there's a difference between what they did at the beginning of the movie with the flying around black smoke and what they do in the Ministry, which is appear in a column of black smoke like they've just been to the Lost Island. Like,
but, you know, when they're around the veil, they're flying around hitting each other with spells.
No, but I understand. That's when they're flying. But when they appear also, they do the whole black smoke thing, which is, you know.
It's complete nonsense. It's not apparating. What's the 3 rules of apparating?
Destination, determination, and deliberation.
And tell me, knowing the rules of apparition being what they are, how in the world it applies to being able to transport yourself mid-apparition around wherever the hell you want, half human, half smoke, is complete nonsense. It's not apparating. It must be something else.
It's something that somebody said, hey, this would look cool in a movie. You want to have some smoke. Joe, do you mind? And she's like, yeah, whatever.
Joe's like, fine, but it's not apparating. It's the angry cloud spell.
Yes.
It's actually what Voldemort does in Book 7.
Sure.
Voldemort in Book 7, I don't think
Voldemort, he
just
flies on a cloud.
Yeah, no, he just flies. No help of anything at all. He just flies.
Oh, I thought he flew on a cloud.
No, there's no smoke.
And he threw little porcupines down on people. He'd fly around and then on a cloud and drop porcupines on people.
Oh, hi, Super Mario.
Very nice.
Well, I loved when we got into, he walked in and there was that moment of like kind of drama, you know, that like intense. And I thought that this whole scene was marvelously done in the movie. They go into his house and, you know, just the way you go in, the whole setting was wonderful. And, you know, it's all destroyed. And then he goes over and the stuff drips from the ceiling. And I just thought that was just so cool. And then I didn't know how they would introduce Slughorn. And I thought this scene was just darling, how they made him come out of the chair. I don't know.
It was cool how it was like his outfit was the upholstery of the chair.
It was very
clever.
That
was funny. I don't know why. It never occurred to me, but
yeah,
when I was reading, it makes perfect sense.
It's cool how they set up Dumbledore being able to sense where magic exists, even though it's not visible, with him noticing that the armchair, for whatever reason, did not look like a normal armchair.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it makes me curious about human transfiguration, because, like, he's able to turn something in the armchair. Is that, like, what Tonks does, or he's just that good?
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, you're not, like, an animagus. Maybe, like, there's rules that you can't transfigure yourself into another living thing, because that would be too similar to an animagus or a metamorph. But.
Well, because the animagus, they said when you transfigure yourself into animagus, you don't retain consciousness of who you are. You become an animal. Pretty much.
Oh, God, that's a whole other character.
You don't transform yourself into, say, a slug, because you can't transform yourself out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people do transform people into slugs.
Yeah, but, like, I'm curious as to, like, since maybe he did the transfiguration himself, and cherries don't have brains, like,
right.
How are you going to get that? But I don't know. It was cool. And then the whole sound effects were kind of cool too. Like all the springs and whatnot. That was cool.
Yeah, totally.
But it was really cool how he like, I liked it because he was talking about the dragon's blood and that was kind of a cool thing. He like tasted it and then he came out of this thing.
He was so gross. What is he? Vampire Bill Bador?
Gross.
But Dumbledore didn't say did he say that he wanted to go read the knitting patterns or something?
He does. If he could keep he has to use the loo. So he left Slughorn alone with Harry. So that they could, so Slughorn could,
get
set on having Harry in his class.
How much you want to bet Dumbledore was using an extendable ear that whole time?
Can we just talk about
it? You're barely amused at that.
What, Sue?
I wanted to say how good Jim Slughorn was in this whole scene, Jim Brombat in this whole scene. I'm sorry, duh. But he was just that I felt so sorry for him. And, you know, here he was showing those photos when you walk over and the camera goes over. And it was really cool that you could see all the different people and, you know, the work they had, them like flying on the girl from the Quidditch team flying on the broom and all that. And at the same time, I felt so sorry for him because he was just, you know, caught up in nostalgia and just, you know, here's his trappings. This is what's important to him. And it just, I don't know. It was such a, I don't know. Melancholy is not the right word. I don't know what to say, but that whole scene just really, it was. And I don't know. I didn't know if I was just off by that, but I just was really moved by that scene.
I think that in like a little bit of a pathetic way because like he's on the run from death. He just doesn't stay anywhere more than 2 weeks. He barely got into this person's house and he sets up a shelf to remind himself of his own importance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't make me dislike Slughorn. There's a heart there, but I just, it's kind of sad, you know?
I agree, because, like, I had never seen Slughorn in that light before. He was so pompous, or just kind of sure of himself in the books, that in the movie, him, like, the whole washed-up nature of him, I was like, it was interesting. Especially, like, when he's walking to Green Broomsticks, and Flitwick kind of, like, brushed him off, like, oh, yeah, I got choir practice. Yeah. Like, he didn't want to deal with him type of thing. It's a nice take. It's an interesting take. In fact, he's kind of like, I don't know.
Maybe he hangs out with the kids because the adults get tired of him and they don't want him around.
I empathize a lot because I love the idea that of all of these famous people and of all of these, you know, sports, you know, athletes and politicians and everything else, his favorite after all these years was Lily, to our knowledge, you know, she was a great witch, certainly, but comparing celebrity she was his favorite, you know, certainly before she was killed and everything else, just because she was special. And for us to like Lily, to see him like Lily, means that we like Slughorn. That's how I think, anyway.
Did we see Regulus? Was he in one of those?
He was in the photo.
He was in the photo. Okay.
Yeah, it was one of his most astonishing lines when you look at it. I didn't get serious in my class. I would have liked the set. Like, he just collects people. It's so raw. I would have liked to have gotten the set of them. Like they're nothing else but people he collects to put on his. On
yeah,
his
that shelf. Is kind of funny.
You know, I would have liked the set.
I think they. It was. Yeah, I mean, that's in his character certainly, but it was a good way to remind everybody. Oh yeah, Sirius died last year. It was one of the few times he was mentioned at all in this movie, really.
And I thought that was a good way to bring that up, John. I agree. I thought that was kind of, you know, worked it in.
I was totally shocked that we didn't hear more about Sirius in the movie, considering how big a deal it was for Harry to lose him in the book around this time in book six.
Yeah, it was appropriate though to the film because the fifth movie wasn't really even about Sirius. Like that was one thing that kind of bugged me. Like he just died, and I was like, all right. Like I didn't really get a big connection with him. I was like, okay, he's dead. And like he had that moment with the tapestry, and that was cool. And then him sneaking off in dog form, and like, oh, we should do that, you know, la di da.
Yeah,
nothing we love more than a rascal.
Yeah.
He's a silly guy.
Can I just kind of, not too much off track, but today we saw a piece of, this is kind of a cool thing, we're talking about this very scene. We saw a making of video by one of the companies, production companies, that does the special effects for the movies, and they did this scene about how they, you know, put Dumbledore's hand in and how they redid the scene, you know, because like with magic, you know, Dumbledore comes out and fixes up the whole room, and so we got to see how they did the effects for that, and it's really a cool thing. So if you get a chance, I hope you guys check out that link, because it's really just, we're talking about this very scene, so.
Yeah, I liked the little spooky chandelier piece in that scene.
It was so cool.
Wasn't that darling? And he was, like, under his foot.
The little personalizations they put on it, really cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Gorgeous. I love the idea of the reparo being so strong, it puts the dust back into its place where it was removed. It's crazy.
Yeah, I like how we're just having these conversations about whether, like, for somebody like Dumbledore, it's just one reparo and you could do something like that, fix a room.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
He could have said reparo maxima. We didn't hear it. That could have been really used.
That's all I
remember. The maxima?
The world explodes.
And Ginny.
It's like supersize. Bring out the Ultra Zord.
Well, I think we will start talking next week about when they leave Slughorns.
Yes, he's gone from Slughorns. He's finally on his own, so far away from home. And
I love when he drops them off, and literally drops them off at the Burrow. That was hilarious.
I love the apparition drop off. Well, let's talk about that next week on Prince of the Evil.
Next week.
Or Half-Blood Bits. We don't know what it's called.
I don't know. We'll figure it out next week. Bye.
Oh, mail's here.
Big alley for mail, isn't it?
Tight. I never get mail.
Let's open it.
The mail's here!
Oh, great. Thanks.
It's the mailbag. We haven't had this in like 2 years.
Here's a mail that never fails.
It makes me want to wag my... I don't think I've ever done a mailbag.
Really? What?
That can't be right, really?
I don't think I have. Maybe like when it was just the three of us.
We've got your mail in email form, so it'll move a little quicker, because good old Chloe, our podcast crafty witch, whatever she, I forget what she calls herself.
Witchy helper.
Pottercast crafty witch.
Nice.
Yeah. She's been answering your questions, so I figured, let's answer some ourselves. Good times. You ready for the first one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, do it.
All right. This is a kind of fun little canon-y one. This is from Andy. He says, I have a question, and I'm not sure if this is the right way to ask it, but has Dumbledore's Patronus ever been discussed?
No, but we've seen it.
Yeah, what is it?
It's a phoenix.
Oh! That's right.
Totally a phoenix. It's in book 5.
Why is his Patronus a phoenix?
I think Joe said it. I think she confirmed at some point that his Patronus was a phoenix, but it's only called a ghostly bird in 5. We see him cast it when they find Barty Crouch.
Oh, that's right. Well, good. Well, thank you, Andy, for that question.
That's 4, book 4. Why am I saying book 5? It's book 4. Sorry.
Okay, right, ready? Next question. This is from Vila Wolf. She says, my hard drive broke down, and I lost my iTunes, and I lost all my old Powdercast episodes. How do I get Powdercast episodes back?
Oh.
Good question. We get this one a lot.
Irrelevant Potter question.
We get this one a lot. Powdercast.com has most of them in the episodes section. You can download them individually. And every once in a while, once every month or two, we put all of the episodes back on the iTunes feed. So you can check the iTunes feed every week, and you might get lucky one day and see them all there to download. It's a good time.
I guess you're going to have to subscribe on iTunes.
We'll have to subscribe at iTunes and look every week. Okay. Next question. This is from Claire. She says, who wrote the script for the acting troupe? I read somewhere it was someone from the Sugar Quill, and I was interested what their pen name was. Acting troupe from last week.
Can I answer this one?
I would love to.
Answer it.
The person who wrote this is a lovely British woman named Jo Metivier, and her Sugar Quill name is Dogstar. However, she's also the person who came to the United States and helped me finish Harry History.
Yes.
But that's the same person? Your assistant?
Yep. Came in and helped me research and got me coffee and kept me sane for the last 3 months of my before deadline.
Was
she a hardcore Harry Potter fan before you met her?
Yes. And actually we met through my friend Meg.
Oh, okay. Meg.
I was talking with Meg. I was doing like all these, like I had any time at all, I was doing all these interviews for this position because I needed somebody in the New York to help for the last few months. And I was on the phone with Meg, and immediately she started screaming, I know exactly who's going to be. I know exactly who's going to be. I've got the girl. I have the girl.
Which one's Meg? Did I meet Meg?
Meg, did you? She's tall, very, very long red hair. She's in the book.
No.
She used to be one of the editors here. She's
awesome. Who was the one that was in D.C.?
Jenny.
Oh, I loved her. She was so cool.
Me? Oh, that's Kathleen that you met
in
D.C.
Kathleen.
Hey, I just had an idea, you guys.
Yes.
I don't know if we can pull this off or not without bothering anybody, but I can run it through the acting troupe kids. Everybody's been asking, how can I listen to all the acting troupe? Oh, I missed this episode or whatever the heck it was. What if we compiled it into one thing and made a CD and... Mm-hmm. Include it in our Get a Clue Christmas drive this year.
That would be awesome.
Oh my gosh, I want it.
Except that I cannot ship something.
Well, what if it was only a digital release?
That would be great.
And then Frankie can do art for it.
Yes!
That would be great. We can put it on iTunes. You can get it yourself. And it would be like, what, $2?
Yeah,
something
little that we can give to the HP Alliance.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea.
Love the acting. Hey.
Everybody in the chat seems pretty excited about it.
We're all freaking out. It's really funny.
We have to run it by the producers and the gang and the acting troupe, but I can't imagine that they would not like that idea. I owe them a big page and post on Pottercast.com so you all can get to know them a little better and see some of their other work and see some pictures
so
and that
good.
Big stuff. It's amazing. There's one more episode left. Episode 6 is the final one of this season.
Ooh. Gosh.
It's like the end of Lost or something. You're going to torture people. That's terrible.
I'm really impressed with the writing. The writing's really good and a lot
of
fun.
No, she's just great. And I knew the recommendation up from Meg was very, very high. Joe's awesome. Joe, the day that we interviewed, she was here helping me the day that we interviewed Joe for... Too many Joes. The day we interviewed Joe for Pottercast, Joe was here, and she literally, it was like at 7 o'clock in the morning, and she literally came over at 7 o'clock in the morning and was just sitting behind us the whole time having a total freak attack. It was awesome. She was so excited. Cool.
Joe needs to come back. Both of them.
Great.
You know, we should have a couple of them on the show and for a little interview about the acting troupe before the last one comes out.
Nice.
Okay.
That'd be a fun idea. All right. Well, continuing with the mailbag here. One from Samantha McLeod says, "Hi, Pottercast. I have a question for you. I was watching the Sorcerer's Stone movie, and I saw the part where Harry opened his first chocolate card, and he said that he got Dumbledore, and then Dumbledore left, and Ron was all like, well, you can't think he's going to stay there all day, for gosh sakes. And then she said that it confused her. Now that he's dead, would he be seen at all in these cards? Or what about the really old cards, like the Founders? Can they be seen? Do they run off? I'm going crazy. What's going on?" Signed, Samantha McLeod.
I would imagine they'd be there, because why would you collect a card with the dead person's name and
that's true.
I would imagine, though, that like they just walk around between other cards to hang out.
Yeah, I always envisioned them as just like a magical enchantment of kind of like a capturing of themselves, and that, like, say if they're a portrait, what you see in the card isn't necessarily them. It's just like a moment that they've been captured, obviously.
Yeah, it's like more picture-ish than portrait-ish.
Yeah.
But where the heck does Dumbledore go then in his card? Like, can Dumbledore only exist in one person's card at any point in time?
Maybe I am still, you know what, I am still holding on to my theory that part of his, that his chocolate card stuff, he was watching Harry and he was networking with all the other portraits. I make this line in 5 about you have no idea how closely I have watched you. Mm-hmm. And in 5, somebody else says the only thing that he would mind about, like being taken off the Wizarding Gambit, blah, 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 is if he was taken off the chocolate frog cards. I just think that is part of how he was watching.
That would be really smart. That would be clever on his part to do it like that. You know.
Well, how much money is that candy company getting from, you know, the government at this point for all this espionage and surveillance work?
It's kind of freaky when you think about it like that.
Gosh.
Do you think that's actually regulated by the Ministry of Magic, John? Seriously, now. Come on.
I don't know. I wouldn't want Dumbledore's eyes in my pocket all the time. That's creepy.
Not even going to go there.
All right.
Oh, boy.
We have 5 minutes left on the mailbag.
How much more time we have left for the mailbag here?
5 minutes.
Five minutes. Let's move on to Chingtu McCulligan. Something like that.
Okay.
Ching McCulligan.
Snape? Okay. Will the Pottercast group from Leaky go to the Harry Potter Expedition in Chicago at the museum?
Exhibition.
What is it called?
The Harry Potter Expedition would be a whole other thing.
Oh, whatever it is. And do you know where the exhibit will be going next after Chicago?
I can tell. Boston. I know the next part.
Oh, sorry, Sue. I knew you knew. What's the one after Boston? I forgot.
It's going to... No, it's already in Chicago, and it opens in Boston in October, and it'll be there until February of next year, so you'll have plenty of time to be able to go catch it. There is rumors that it's going to stay one more time in the United States, but then hopefully it'll make it over to the UK after that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That'd be a long plane ride for all those little guys, whatever it is in the exhibit. Maybe they'll go by boat. I don't even know.
By boat?
They probably do have to get some of that stuff over by boat.
Yeah. That's crazy. I wish I would have seen it. I really want to see it. Hopefully they'll go to California.
It might. It's on a 5-year track around the United States or around the world, actually. But I think it'll do one more. They said the rumor is it's going to do one more thing in the United States before it goes abroad.
Cool. So, yeah. All right. This is a very weird question from Daisy Pond. I don't know where she heard this. She says, "Is it true that inferiors are always nude?" John said this. It sounds like something he would say.
It's true that John said it. Did you say that?
I don't recall, but it does sound like something I would suggest.
It does sound like something I would say.
Do we know if this is in the canon, if inferiors are always nude?
It's part of the spell. They have to be
well,
shameful.
When you're a dead body,
that's
why
they're so pissed off. I'm like, they don't really want to kill people. They just want their clothes. And in the meantime, they just overtake everyone. Like, give me the chance. I want the pants. Give me the underwear. Just give me a fuck. and they just end up tearing the people apart and then they as a byproduct.
Oh, man. I guess, yeah. I mean, what purpose would they have with clothes otherwise?
Brack, you should draw it.
Oh, yes, please.
That's so ridiculous.
Just please keep in mind that they're in the water most of the time, so that has its toll.
Oh, no, you did not say that. No.
John bringing a perfectly wholesome goat right into the gutter.
Oh, it's perfectly wholesome.
5 years and counting here on Podcast for 4 years and counting. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Daisy, for that that question and show note in this week's episode.
All right. Oh, man.
Last question here for the mailbag.
Oh,
this
funny.
Is a long one. I think we have a long discussion if you want to
you're
going to
love
next
this one.
Time.
We can't. We have 2 minutes.
Well, okay. We can't then.
How do the house elves deal with the laundry at Hogwarts? If they are given clothes, even dirty ones, like Harry's sock, they're set free. And none of the house elves at Hogwarts, except Dobby, are set free, etc. If they take the dirty clothes rather than are given the dirty clothes, is that a loophole? A magical elf-human contract? Who knows the answer to this? Do they wash them? Do they scorchify the clothes? What the hell?
Dobby is given a sock. It is in an object he is given. If you just drop your stuff in a chute, that's not being given clothing.
Right. And secondly, too, you have to be given by your master, correct? And
right.
Dumbledore at that, or whoever's the headmaster, they're not.
It has to be
the master.
But Harry gave Dobby the sock, and Harry wasn't his master.
Lucius did, because
Harry
Lucius
did not give Dobby
the sock off.
Lucius did.
Oh, son of a...
Off the thing and threw him, like, take this.
Right.
And so that's... It has to be
Harry would have done that from day one. Hermione would have gone around forcing clothes on every freaking elf.
So who the hell washes Dumbledore's clothes? Madam Pomfrey?
Well, what if they just do, like, don't... House elves, she said that they have special magic. So why can't they just, like, do, like, you know, Mrs. Weasley does? Like, enchant them to, like, pick them up and throw them in whatever. I mean, you know...
I imagine they would. Who wants to do laundry all day?
Exactly.
There's
got to be some benefit to having magical powers. I mean, come on.
I bet Dumbledore will scorchify his own clothes. That's why he wears the same purple outfit every day. No other clothes.
See, Dumbledore doesn't actually... This is a little-known fact about Dumbledore. He never wears the same outfit twice. He just conjures new ones every morning and turns into stuff.
All right. Make it work, people.
Well, mailbag, how can they send us in their own questions, John?
If you want to send us in their own questions, write to us at staff@podcast.com.
That's it?
That's all you have to do. Very easy.
Awesome.
Okay. Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Banana. Bye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Oh, it's the end of the show.
It's the drum! Dum-bum. Can I just say about drums? It kind of puts you in a rhythm, kind of walking kind of mood, kind of dancing.
The drums, yeah.
Anybody can do any walking coming up?
Yes. Thank you, Sue. Thank you for that fantastic
Sue,
segue.
You are the queen of segues.
I know.
Very nice.
If I ever need to bring up something in conversation, I'm just going to text you, like, how do I bring up purple elephants? Well.
I'll figure it out.
I'm going to be walking, if you've been watching our YouTube vlogs, you know that I'm going to be walking in the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer Awareness and Cure this October. And to make things, I need to raise, me and my team need to raise like a freaking ton of money. So to make things interesting, I made a schedule of things that you will get if you donate a certain amount of money. And in 2 days, you guys have raised like $3,000. Just through Twitter alone, through the video and announcements on Twitter alone.
What are they winning with this money? What do they get in return?
I will tell you in one moment so that I don't miss anything. Okay, so if you donate $20 or above, you get a shout out on Pottercast. I'm going to do shout outs in a second.
Nice.
$30, you get the Pottercast tour poster, which, by the way, Frankie, I need you to send out because you have them all. I'll send you all the packaging and the addresses and stuff. And and you get the Pottercast tour poster and your name shouted out on Pottercast.
Charge $1 for that.
No, if you donate $50, you get your choice between the Jingle Spell CDs. If you donate $60, I will sign a Harry history and send it to your house.
Oh.
If you donate $75, you'll get a preview of the LeakyCon CD.
Ooh.
If you donate $100, you get a preview of the LeakyCon DVD. And if you donate $200, we will do a guest spot together on Pottercast. You've come on Pottercast. We'll talk for a while. Man, you guys have been boogieing on this. And the top prize, I'm going to send a piece of the J.K. Rowling interview that I have on my computer from Harry History, the unpublished one. I'm going to send a piece of it just to you, or you could get a really impossible to get John Green bobblehead doll that they made for his birthday, and they sold out in like 3 hours. but the guys have a couple of extra, and they gave me one for this purpose. So the top two donors, I'm like watching the donations over the next week and a half, and the people who donated the most money by the end of this time, the top two people get to get those prizes. The top one picks, and the second one gets the one that the other one did get.
Dang.
Very nice.
How much do you have to give to get a Harry and the Potters original cassette recording of their music? You guys not seeing that? They're doing those. It's crazy. You should
seriously?
Have them donate one to your cause, yeah. They're selling one-of-a-kind 20-minute-long cassette recordings of live music.
Wow. Seriously.
You should bug Paul for one for your thing.
Okay, I will. Well, I have some shout-outs to do, so these are the people that have donated $20 or more. There's quite a few, so everybody just sit tight for a sec. Thank you very much to Daniel Bond, Amy Tull, Daniel Backhouse, Becca Allen, Maggie Melchior, Alicia Cosbial, I never pronounce her last name right, Joseph Ruff, Kate Barry, Nania Hoffman, Elda Pinea, Sarah Banfield, Julia Katz, Brenda McCaffrey, Catherine Phillips, Stacey Morano, Kelly Watts, Mariah Pollock, Ivan Powell, Rebecca Allen, Lewis Brooks, Noah Smith, Jennifer Cohen, Melinda Stahl, Kelly Fleming, Susan Schaefer, Denise McKibben, Karen Kass, Brittany Nesset, Gina Gadd, Laurie Staskovich, Patrick Fleming, Veronica Bartlett, Joshua Yelds, Ma Parents, Glenn Johnson, Amanda Weber, Theodore Hua, Gavin Wiedmeyer, Cheryl Klein, Cheryl Majorak, John Green, who donated $120, he's amazing, Matt Revman, Don Tahar, Jeffrey Peterson, Mary Jane Harper, who has donated now just shy of $400.
What?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
She's an insane
person. And Dean O'Carroll.
Wow.
What's that top prize that she gets if she is the most?
She can get a piece of the J.K. Rowling interview that's just for her.
Holy cow.
That's amazing.
MJ, I have the whole thing. I'll sell it to
she
you.
Asked me about a specific thing from the J.K. Rowling interview, like any of you, I would tell her.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She just wants, she told me it was the best money she's going to spend all year when I emailed her to say, what are you doing?
God bless her. I mean, that's so generous. That's so, people are doing this, and it's such a good cause, and I donated to your sister, don't tell me.
Thank
her
you.
Team.
Thank you.
But it's such a good thing that you guys are doing now. The question is, are you in training for this? Are you doing the walking? What are you doing?
I should be training more than I am. But yeah. we're working on it. It's a lot of walking.
Yeah.
I will donate $1,800 if you get Muchko to walk.
No. You know, you shouldn't say things like that, John, because what if I put her on a leash and what if she came?
How far is it?
You have
39 miles. It's not.
Okay.
Fail.
I will raise $1,800 tonight on Noe Thursday.
You
again,
will
Mushka
not.
To be dragged 39 miles.
Listen, this is how you do it, guys. This is how you do it. Listen, you shush. This is how you do it, and I gotta be fast. You go to penbitten.com/MelissaWalk. It's very important you use that address. Because once I hit goal, once another teammate hits goal through all these donations, I'm going to be transferring you over to our next teammate who needs the donations. So now, like, everything's going to my friend Jamie. So it's to his walk because he has to get to goal as well. So you go to penbitten.com/MelissaWalk, and you donate whatever you want to donate, and then I will get the receipt, and you will get your prize.
Pretty cool.
Very awesome.
And Frankie will put it in the mail.
Yes, Frankie, you got to do some poster sending, if you don't mind.
That's fine.
It is tax-deductible, by the way, to the Avon Foundation.
Speaking of Frankie sending crap out, should we shout out our thing, or do you want to wait till your thing here is done?
What's that?
Our little email, Facebook, Twitter thingamajigger
that
Frankie's
sending
out.
Are we set up to do this?
We can be without too much effort.
Okay, well, we've got like a ton of the podcast posters.
Oh, the podcast posters are so cool.
We're not set up. We have to send them to someplace to get it.
Look for that information soon.
On our
but
Twitter.
If you've always wanted a shirt or a poster, you'll be able to get that soon.
Okay.
Cool beans. That's the end of the show.
Woo!
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys. I feel like we squished a 2-hour show into an hour. Thank you for booking for me.
That's all right. Last week was like 100.
Yes.
Or not 100. An hour 37.
It was enormous.
We didn't talk about Potter Pundits.
I know we didn't. I wanted to.
Potter Pundits was awesome. I'm putting up a blog at, as soon as we're done with this, from Travis.
I want to be on a Potter Pundits one time.
Me too.
I'm sure that's possible, dudes.
I think at some point, all four of us individually should go on a Potter Pundits episode.
Good.
And just get schooled. But Melissa won't get schooled because she'll, like, research plan beforehand.
No, they know things. They pull references out of thin air. It's intense. It's a totally different thing. There's no way you can research for that. But fine.
All right. Well, until next time then, guys, keep twiddling those dials.
The next password will be Potter Pundits.
Each other safe.
Keep fit. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, that was
good.
Hey,
we did it. Wow. That was very good.
How about?
Bye. Bye. Bye, everyone. We missed it.
W3.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great, Scott. No wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours.
Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.